Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for each heart, each life that's here today. Lord, and I thank you for the Spirit of God. It's by your Spirit, Lord, that you move and work in our hearts and lives. And so, Father, I pray that as we share your word, that the Spirit of God would speak into each heart and life, that each of us would be changed in some way today by the word of God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, as we begin this new year, it is a great opportunity for us to refocus our lives, to refocus on the things that are truly the most important. We need to keep first things first. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And let me tell you, the main thing is a relationship with the Lord, to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Now, I'm going to be sharing a brief series on basic Christianity. Now, that doesn't mean that those of you that have known the Lord for a while, you can just take a break because you've got it down. No, in fact, many of us who have known the Lord for a while, we need this the most maybe, because sometimes the simple things, the basic things, if we drift away from those things, we begin to allow other things to be more important, we miss it altogether. So I want to encourage you that whether you are not a believer, let me tell you, this is the most important thing. It's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are a new believer, you know this. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've drifted away in your walk with God. Listen, I want to tell you, you need to refocus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And if you've been serving the Lord faithfully for a long time, refocus this morning. You need to make this your goal and your priority this year, that if you don't accomplish anything else, that you are going to pursue that relationship with Jesus Christ. It is all about Him. First and foremost, the Christian life and the walk is about Jesus. It is about a relationship with Him. Now, Jesus makes that really clear when He gives us the great commandment. One of those is in Mark 12 and 30, where that commandment is given. And He says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. Here's the most important thing. Jesus says, here's the great commandment. Here's the first commandment. Love the Lord. It is about a relationship with God, a love relationship with Him. John 17 and 3, when Jesus is praying for us, He says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus defines what eternal life is. He's not just talking about eternal existence. Everybody's going to exist for eternity somewhere. But He defines eternal life simply as to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. It is to know Him in a personal way. That is eternal life. The Christian life isn't about knowing about God. It's about knowing God in a personal way. It's not merely professing certain beliefs. It is about an ongoing personal relationship with a living Lord. Now, Paul said this very plainly in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And speaking of his old way of life, it was a life of lifeless religion. And he says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Listen, Paul said that everything else is worthless compared to knowing Christ. Now, there's a lot of important things in life. But compared to knowing Jesus Christ, nothing else really matters. Compared to our relationship with the Lord, to knowing Him, we got to count everything else as a loss. We need to realize that's our priority. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians today that have busied themselves and allowed other things to take priority in their life. Other things have become more important. We need to refocus that our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in our life. And as you face this year, I'm telling you, there are a lot of things we could talk about. But we need to just refocus and get this right. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 says to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. To focus your attention on Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Make that your goal this year, that you're going to really develop that relationship with the Lord and spend time with the Lord and grow in Him. You know, what an awesome privilege it is that we have, that through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to the holy place. We can come to the throne of grace. We can have a real relationship with God by faith in the blood of Jesus in a new and living way that He has opened for us. What an awesome privilege to be able to know Him, to walk with Him and talk with Him. Like the old song says, He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Do you feel that way? That needs to be the way we are every day, that we have that kind of a relationship with Him. You know, we're living in a time when there's so many things that distract us and pull us away. I'm reminded of a retreat that our young people went on just a couple of months ago, and they came back, and so many of them talked about how that God had spoken to their heart. You know, what happened is they got away from all the busyness of life, and there was a time on that retreat when they just got alone out in the woods with just their Bible and God. And amazingly, many of them felt like the Lord spoke to them, many for the first time. What happened? They just got alone and away from everything else, from all the busyness of life. I want to tell you, you don't have to wait for a retreat to have an experience like that with the Lord. That's available to us every day. Every day we have the opportunity to turn the TV off and to put other things aside and to get alone with God and to read the Bible and pray and allow God to speak into our heart and life, to have a real relationship with Him. We're always so busy. I have a devotional book. I have several, but one that I especially like, it is my favorite. It's a little black book. Pastor has a little black book. It's a devotional book. My mom gave it to me several years back, and it was one that she picked up at a garage sale. I think she paid a quarter for it or something. But it is my favorite, not because my mom gave it to me, but because the devotions in that book have spoken to my heart so many times and really blessed me. It was copyrighted in 1931, so it's old. It's been around for quite a while. I want you to remember, it was copyrighted in 1931. In one of the opening pages it says, "It is not much to give God a minute. But in these so-called busy times, a minute is better than no time at all." 1931, these busy times. Better to give God a minute than no time at all. Before they had cell phones, before they had, you know, well, at least where everybody had an automobile. You know, back before computers and internet, back before TV. All of the hours and hours and hours that people in our generation busy their life with. But back before all of that, let me tell you, people still thought they were too busy for God. In one of the devotions it says, "Man's popular excuse is, I'm so busy. The result is we forget our true source of strength. An old saint once said, if a man is so busy that he has no time for prayer, he is busier than God Almighty ever intended." Now I'm telling you, if you're too busy for God, you're just plain too busy. We need to reprioritize. We need to refocus our lives. If we don't do anything else this year, we need to focus on a relationship with Jesus. See, Christianity is about a relationship with the Lord. It is not about regulations and rules. And yet how easy we can fall into the trappings of religion where the focus is no longer on knowing Christ. See, there are a lot of people today that have tried Christianity. Many have grown up in it. At some point, they've prayed a sinner's prayer, and they profess to be a Christian even though their lives don't show it. But what happened to them is they got just enough of a religious experience that they developed a resistance to the real thing. They developed an immunity to the real thing. Let me tell you what the real thing is. A real relationship with the Lord. A lot of people just kind of got a dose of Christian religion, but not the real thing. The real thing is a daily relationship, a daily walk with the Lord. Instead of truly loving Him and having a relationship with Him, too many people end up settling for religion, resorting to religion. You know, we can create a form and a routine that makes us feel religious and maybe even makes us feel close to God in some way, but it lacks that intimacy. It lacks that real life, abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. He wants to connect with us on a daily basis, not through rules, but through a relationship. See, religion is about routine. It's trying to crack the code on God. And the things I'm going to say in the next minute or two may be a little uncomfortable because I think it hits home with the church in America today. Well, I want God to give me a new car. You know, this one's ragged out and I need a new car. I need a new job. God, you know how much I need a new job? Whether it's because we're tired of this one or what a lot of people are going through right now because I lost a job. Lord, I need a new job. How do I get God to do what I want Him to do? Okay, well, I'm going to pray every day. Well, 3 days have passed now and nothing's happened. So now I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible. So we do that for a while. Well, it still didn't work. How do I get God to do what I want Him to do? So now I'm going to pray and read my Bible and I'm going to confess and visualize. Listen, that is not a relationship. That is works. Trying to move God by being religious. He knows the things that we have need of before we even ask. What we need to be pursuing is not how we can get God to do what we want, but we need to be pursuing a relationship with Him, of knowing Him intimately and personally. As the Apostle Paul said, I want to know Him. When it's all said and done, religion is vain and pointless. It doesn't satisfy, it doesn't bring life, it doesn't fulfill, it's empty. Religion will just leave you a judgmental person because you start to think everybody else needs to live by the same rules I live by. It's really quiet in here this morning. That must be it. Mean it's hitting home really good, right? Because usually, you know, if it's for somebody else, you say amen, right? So if it's for us, we're just quiet, right? But listen, it's not about religion. That'll just turn you judgmental and critical of other people. It's about a relationship with Jesus. You know what happens when you have a relationship with Jesus? A real relationship with Jesus makes you love people. The danger of religion is that it becomes a substitute for a relationship with God. Jesus didn't come to institute a new religion and new traditions and new rules. You know, that's the attitude of most people in our society, whether they think that Jesus was just a good man or a great prophet, even if they agree that He was the Son of God. Most people have the attitude and the mindset that, yes, Jesus brought a new religion and new ways, and that's not why He came. He came to reconcile us to God. He came to restore mankind in relationship to God. That by His death on the cross, He removed our sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, so that we could be right with God and have a relationship with God. That's why He came. He didn't come and die on the cross just to keep us from going to hell. He died on the cross so we could have a relationship with God for all eternity. This is eternal life, that you might know Him and the one true God. Know Him and the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Amen. It's about knowing Him in a personal way. It's not just about a system of rules and regulations. And, you know, the Old Testament was hard rules. Jesus brought us nice rules. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. If you have a Bible, turn there. It's an interesting passage where Jesus is trying to prepare His disciples for what's about to happen. He's about to be taken and crucified, and so He doesn't want them to become disillusioned. He doesn't want them to become discouraged and give up. And so He says to them, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." He's warning them about what's going to happen. Verse 2, He says, "They will put you out of the synagogues." He tells them, the religious people are going to reject you. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. And get this next line. "Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he does God a service." How strange it is that we are living in a day and a time when people still think that by killing somebody else, they're doing God a service. Come on, you pick up the paper and read about it. It's still going on right now today in our world that in the name of religion, in the name of God, people are killing people. And it's not just other religions. I'm telling you the truth, and you know it this morning, that there are even those who claim to be Christian who will kill in the name of Christ and think they do God a service. I'm telling you, that is the result of religion without relationship. That's how messed up religion gets, without a real relationship with God. In verse 3, He says, "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor Me." You see, there's the key. They don't know the Father nor Me. They have religion, but no relationship. And any time religion becomes the focus, I'm telling you, nothing good's going to come out of it. Why do they do such things? Because they don't know the Father or Jesus. Religion won't bring you into relationship. Rules and regulations, traditions, don't bring you into an intimate relationship. You need to understand, I'm not saying that we don't obey God, that we don't obey God's Word. But what I'm saying is that we obey God because we love Him. We're not living by a system of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. It is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you consider the abortion protester who blows up a clinic and kills people in the name of Jesus. It reminds me of when James and John said to Jesus about some people that they said, "Lord, let us call down fire on them." Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." I saw a video recently of a major crusade. It was from several years ago, but it was a major crusade where tens of thousands of people were gathering in the name of Jesus, and people were being born again and saved at this crusade. It was a big evangelistic crusade. And there was a group of believers, Christians, who stood outside with big protest signs, and they yelled at all of the people going in, and they said things like, "You're all going to hell. You're following a false doctrine. You don't know Jesus. You're all going to go into eternity and spend eternity in hell. And they just kept on spewing this hatred and this bitterness. Christian against Christian. How could they be so far deceived? Because they've made religion the focus instead of a relationship with Jesus. And you know, that may be a little bit of an extreme example, but you can see that same kind of attitude so prevalent in the body of Christ today, where people want to fight and argue over doctrine and theology. And I'm telling you the truth this morning is that when we act like that, we would make good Pharisees. Jesus came to teach us and to show us it is about a relationship with our Father. It is not about all of these rules and regulations. That's what the Pharisees were all about. It is not about all this, well, it's doctrinal purity, brother. We've got to all believe exactly alike. I'm telling you, it's about a relationship with Jesus. People still today think they're doing God a service by setting themselves in opposition against their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And they just bring strife and division. The Bible says where there's strife and division, there's confusion in every evil work. How does that happen when people make religion the goal instead of relationship? How can religious people go to church on Sunday and act like the devil on Monday? How do they pray with people at church and then scream and cuss at home or even as they drive down the highway? How can they read the Bible and then use it to attack other people? I heard a man one time say he's having an argument with another man, and the other man quoted a scripture, so he says, "I can cut you up with the Word of God." I'll tell you, church, we need to refocus on what's really important. It is a relationship with Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7 and 1, he says, "Judge not that you will not be judged." If you're focusing on your relationship with Jesus, it's amazing how that it causes you to love other people and be merciful to other people and be kind to other people, be gracious to other people. And then near the end of that chapter, in verse 21 through 23, he says, "Not everybody that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom. But he that does the will of my Father," he says, "many will say to me, 'Lord, we've done all these great things in your name. We've done all these things in your name.' And he'll say, 'Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you.'" You see, they were doing all the right stuff, but they didn't have that relationship with Jesus. They were living by their traditions and by their religion, but not really doing the will of God. Oh, we got to focus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We get to the place where we realize that Christ is not just an important part of our life, but He is our life. You see, there's the key. A lot of people just have this mindset and this attitude that, well, yeah, you know, having a relationship with God's important. Yeah, you know, that's good to go to church. But it's more than just an important part. It is our life. Colossians 3:4 says it very plainly. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." I want to just encourage you this morning. Jesus said He'd never leave you nor forsake you, that He would always be with you. I'm talking about the relationship that's available to us. You see, Jesus made it so clear that no matter where we go, no matter what we're going through, what's going on in our life, He's there all the time to fellowship with us, to commune with us. In fact, He told the disciples, and speaking of the Holy Spirit coming, He said, "The one who is with you is going to be in you." And as a child of God, you need to realize He's right there with you. He's in you. That you can fellowship with Him and have a real relationship with Him. That's what the Christian life is about. It's not about religion and rules and regulations. You know, I don't know. It seems kind of strange. Why would anybody choose religion and rules when they can have relationship? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's really strange. But it's easier to control religion. It's safer. It's more comfortable. Well, it can kind of go like this. This fits really well in the American church today. I go to church when I want. I give my money when I want. I spend my money how I want. I live my life the way I want. It's my life. If I need God, I know He's there. Kind of like having a spare tire in the trunk. Kind of like having insurance. You know, if I get in trouble, if I need God, I know He's around. But, you know, I'm living my life, doing what I want, how I please. It's my life. But when you have a real relationship with Jesus, it invades every area of your life. When you really allow Jesus to come in and be the Lord of your life, and you're walking with Him on a daily basis, it'll interfere with every part of your life. It's no longer my life to do how I please, but it becomes Jesus living in you. It is a real relationship that changes you. See, He wants to be much more than just an insurance policy to us. So if I get in trouble, if I need Him, I know He's there. Listen, He wants to be the love of our life, to be our best friend, our shepherd and guide. He wants to be our Lord, our protector, our provider, our healer, our all in all. Now, some people, they go the other extreme and they choose a religion that demands a lot from them. It appeals to the pride of man. All that I do, and I did this, and I did that, and I've given up, and I've sacrificed. I want to tell you, our Christianity certainly should change the way we live, the way we treat others. It should change us, though, from the inside out. It's not from the rules and regulations, but it's from the personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we are changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away and the new has come. It's from the relationship with Jesus, not from outside rules. See, we have all these preachers, including myself, they stand in the pulpit and we say, you need to witness. You need to talk to people about the Lord. You need to love other people. You need to share your faith. You need to serve. You need to work for God. You need to give. You need to worship. You need to pray. You need to do all these things and stop sinning. Doesn't that sound like a preacher? The problem is that we can do all those things and still not have a real relationship. And it's just dead religion. But if you have a real relationship with Jesus, then you want to pray. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you want to give. You want to come and you want to worship Him. If you have a relationship with Jesus, a real relationship, you want to talk about Him. You want to share your faith. Because He's real to you and He's changed your life. And so you want to share that. You see, that relationship with Jesus is the key. You know, too often we have people beating us over the head, telling us you need to do this and you need to stop doing that. But when we have that relationship with the Lord, nobody has to tell us. Nobody has to make us. In fact, Jesus says in John 14, He says, it's verse 23, He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And you know, I've preached that verse many times with the attitude that you need to prove you love Him by obeying Him. But in reality, what He's simply saying is that when we really love Him, we want to obey Him. We will obey Him if we love Him. You see, our obedience comes out of a relationship with Jesus. It's not the other way around. Our obedience comes out of our relationship. When we love Him, then obedience is not a problem. We need to focus on our relationship with Him and on loving Him. See, a real relationship with Jesus will infect and affect every area of your life. Your home, your workplace, your relationships with your family. It'll affect your finances and how you conduct yourself in business. If you have a real relationship with Jesus, it'll change every area of your life. You know, I like this example. When I used to be a youth pastor and preach to young people, I'd always use this example. And I tell you, I think it really hits home with the youth, but it probably hits home with some adults in some ways too. You know, when you go out on a date, they can tell you, well, don't do this and don't do that, and you need to do this. And that's rules. But when you take Jesus with you on a date, nobody has to tell you don't do this and don't do that. When you know that Jesus is sitting there with you and your date, it changes everything. Now, mom and dad, we can apply that in our lives in some areas too, can't we? Changes everything when you know Jesus is right there with you. When you have a real relationship with Jesus, it changes things. And I'm telling you, that needs to be where our focus is this morning. And as we begin a new year, is that our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. And when we let that slide, when we're neglectful of our relationship with Him, then nothing else really works right. Even our study of the Word of God can just become a source to argue theology. That's never what Jesus intended. No, He came to reconcile us and restore us in our relationship with God. John 15, verse 5 and 6. Jesus says, I'm the true vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me... He's talking about an intimate, close relationship. He that abides in me, lives in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Wow, that's pretty strong. Without a real relationship with Jesus, our lives just become futile, empty, powerless. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. He is the vine and we are the branches. He is the source. He is the source of life. The source of our strength. Apart from him, we can do nothing. He's the source of our fruitfulness, our effectiveness. Just to put it in real modern terminology, he's the source of our success. And I'm not talking about in material things or by the world standards. I'm talking about in life. If you want to really be the best father that you can be, you need to develop your relationship with Jesus. Because I'm telling you, you can read all the books that you want about parenting, but if you don't have the strength, if you don't have that source of life flowing into you, it's going to be fruitless and empty. Abide in me, and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit. See, it's that close relationship and fellowship with Him that causes us to be effective and successful as a child of God. So how do we pursue that personal relationship with Jesus? And before I even begin to talk about that, and I know many of you know the answer to that, all right, but we need to be refocused this morning. We need to go back to some basics. But before we even begin to talk about that, I want you to hear this now. Even those things can be turned into ritual religion if the motivation of the heart is not to have a relationship with the Lord, to know Him better, to love Him more. If that's not the motivation of our heart, even these things just become ritual religion. The first one is faith. Our relationship with God is based on faith in Jesus Christ, that by His blood He made us righteous and brought us into relationship with God. You see, we all know that we're not good enough to really be close to God and have a relationship with Him. And so to even begin to have a relationship with Him, it is by faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins. And we need to always be mindful of that, because I'm telling you, the enemy will always try to use guilt and condemnation. He'll always try to make you feel like you're not good enough to be close to God. You're not good enough to have a real relationship with God. No, of course we're not. But it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins have been forgiven and we've been given the free gift of righteousness. It is by His grace we're saved through faith. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to have any relationship at all with Jesus, it has to begin with faith and trust in Him and what He's done. Never about our works, not about our self-righteousness, but it is by faith and trust in Him. Next, prayer is our primary way of knowing Him. It is talking to God, but it is also listening to His voice, allowing Him to speak to us in our hearts. And you know, as you read the Scripture, you see this all through the Bible, that God speaks to people. How is it that in America today, many, many Christians don't believe God speaks to people? We're talking about a real relationship. You can't have a real relationship with somebody if you're the only one that ever talks. I'm telling you, God speaks to us in our heart. I realize that there's always going to be people that blame God for every harebrained idea they had. There's always going to be people that say, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and it wasn't God telling them anything. Maybe what they had for lunch, I don't know, but it wasn't God. But we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We shouldn't go to the other extreme and say, well, God doesn't do that. Yes, He does speak to people. In our heart, He speaks to us. Now, God can speak to you in an audible voice. It's recorded there in Scripture where He did it many times. I read just recently where young Samuel is hearing the voice of God, and whether it is audible or just in his heart, it was so real to him, he keeps getting up and going to the priest Eli and saying, you called me, didn't you? You called me. And he kept saying, no, I didn't call you. Go back. Lay down. And finally, he goes to him the third time, and Eli says, go lay down. And if you hear that again, he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know, there's the key. We need to get alone and get quiet and be willing to hear and to listen and let God speak into your heart. Now listen, sometimes people say, okay, well, I guess these voices that pop in my head, that must be God speaking to me. No, 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 no. You will get so messed up. Because there are 1,000 different voices that pull on us and, you know, different thoughts that run through our mind. But when God speaks to us, most of the time, it is what the Scripture refers to as the still small voice. It is the Holy Spirit that just deals with our heart. And we just sense and know that God is speaking to us about something. And so often, He speaks to us through His Word. Listen, if you want God to speak to you, go to the Bible. Because this is God's written Word. He is speaking to us through His Word. And so often, as we prayerfully read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart through a particular verse or passage or even just a phrase. But we need to get alone with the Lord without an agenda other than to be closer to Him and to know Him better. Some of us need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not here to give you my want list. Now, I want you to understand, we are to take our petitions and our requests to God. The Bible says that very plainly. But too often, it seems that's all we do. How many parents want that kind of relationship with your child, that the only time they ever talk to you or give you the time of day is when they want something? No, we want a real relationship with our kids. And I'm telling you that our Heavenly Father loves us and He wants a relationship with you. He wants to take care of your needs, but He doesn't want us to always just approach Him with a want list. A to-do list. Here, God, here's my to-do list of the things I think you need to do today. No, He wants us to come to Him without an agenda, just to be with Him and spend time in His presence, to hear His voice and to know Him better. You know, and I know that sounds weird to some people to talk about hearing the voice of the Lord, but as a Christian, we should learn to hear His voice and know Him more intimately. Now I want to tell you, if you're going to be intimate with the Lord and have a close relationship with Him, it's going to require time, unstructured quality time, not just pursuing your wants and needs, not just using God as another way to get what you want, but to delight yourself in Him, to truly enjoy your relationship with Him. And then He promises us He'll give us the desires of our heart. You know, if we just focus on the things that are really important, it's amazing how God takes care of the other stuff. Jesus put it this way, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. See, God knows what we have need of before we even ask. If we would just seek Him and keep our priorities right, stay focused on the Lord, He's able to take care of our needs. But our relationship with Him starts with prayer. Not just intercession and petition and request, not just warfare and binding and loosing. Oh, come on now, some of you real spiritual people, I'm talking to you right now. It's about communion. It's about fellowship with the Lord. It's not our duty, but our delight. It is having that time of sweet fellowship with Jesus. The psalmist said, Psalm 42 and 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. We need to have that kind of thirst. Lord, more than anything else, I want to be with You. I want to know You more. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Don't make Him a part-time friend. You got one of those friends, you know, you say, yeah, I'll call you. A month later, you still haven't called them. See, a lot of people do the Lord that way. Oh, no. We need to make time for the Lord in our life. We need to make Him a priority in our hearts and lives, that He's the most important thing in our life. One man and his wife had just a brief vacation. They were going to have 2.5 days to get away, and they were going to go ski. Well, while they were on this trip, they were going to be about 150 miles from some good friends of theirs. And as they were talking with their friends over the phone, they said, their friend said, well, why don't you, while you're up this way, why don't you come and see us? I said, well, it would be 6 hours round trip. And jokingly, he said, you're not 6 hour friends. But the idea was, or the thought behind it was, is that we only have 2.5 days. If we spend 6 hours, it's going to really cut our trip short, and so we're not going to do that. But he told his friend jokingly, well, you're not a 6 hour friend. Well, his friend called back a little later and he says, guess what? We're on our way down. We're going to take y'all out to dinner tonight because you are 6 hour friends to us. And there were no hurt feelings because, like I said, it was said as a joke. But there was a principle that was learned there. Now I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus a 6 hour friend? I'm telling you, most people that claim to be Christians and living by rules and regulations and do this and don't do that, but they don't make time for a real relationship with the Lord. Reminds me of a story I heard about John Wesley. John Wesley's having dinner with a man one night, and as the hours began to pass, he said, I've got to go. I've got an appointment at 4 o'clock in the morning. The man said, who could you possibly have an appointment with at 4 in the morning? He said, the Lord Jesus. I meet the Lord Jesus every morning at 4. Now, I'm not there yet, or how about you? 4 in the morning, every morning. And it wasn't a ritual. It wasn't just some religious thing that John Wesley did. If you know anything about John Wesley, it was a passionate relationship with Jesus, but it was important enough to him to get home and get to bed just so he wouldn't miss that time with the Lord. Is your relationship with the Lord important? Now listen, see, here it goes. Preacher's going to say, don't do this. No, I'm not. Is your relationship with Jesus important enough to turn the TV off? To turn your cell phone off? To unplug the computer? Is your relationship with the Lord important enough to maybe put aside some leisure, some hobbies, some things that you enjoy doing? Is it that important to you? I'm telling you, we need to reprioritize and refocus our lives this year that Jesus, our relationship with Him, is the most important thing. Prayer. The second thing is the Word of God. And I've already talked about this a little bit, but His Word reveals Himself to us. It shows us who He is and what He's like. It shows us how He wants us to live and what pleases Him, what He wants us to do. And He speaks into our hearts and lives through the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love Your Word." You know, oftentimes when we talk about prayer, we refer to the passage of Scripture where Jesus has gone to have supper at Mary and Martha's house, and Martha is busy working and trying to get supper ready, and she gets upset because Mary is not helping. She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we, like I said, we usually talk about this passage in reference to prayer, but what it actually says about Mary, Jesus said she had chosen the better part. But what it said about Mary is that she sat at His feet and heard His Word. I want to encourage you to get your Bible and make up your mind that you're going to sit at His feet and hear His Word. And you know, there are times when you're reading through the begets, the genealogies, and you're going to say, "Oh, I didn't get anything out of that." And there's going to be times you're reading in the Levitical law and going through some things that you don't even know what it's talking about and how in the world that could matter to me, and it's boring to read. But there's also going to be times when you read just one little word or phrase or passage and God speaks to you in your heart and it changes your life. And if you want to know Him, I want to tell you, you need to get to know Him through His Word. Listen, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1, verse 1. Listen, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. You want to know Him? Read the Bible. Get into the Word of God. He'll speak to you through His Word. Next, if you really want to have a personal relationship with Him, worship Him. You need to worship Him in your personal devotional life. Worship is our expression of our love to God. What Jesus say was the great command? To love the Lord your God. Well, worship is our expression of that love, that we tell Him how much He means to us, how much we love Him and adore Him. You know, we celebrate what He's done in praise, and we are grateful, we give Him thanks, but worship is even more than that, that we worship Him for who He is. And in our personal devotional life, we need to always be faithful to do that. But we also need to come together in corporate worship as a church. There's something special and powerful. Jesus said, "Where two or three gather in My name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, where it's talking about the husband and wife, and it talks about how that those two become one flesh, but then he goes on and he says, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. You see what an intimacy, a closeness there is supposed to be between us and the Lord Jesus. And you know, just like with a husband and wife, there needs to be that love expressed. Ladies, you just missed a great opportunity to say amen. There needs to be that love expressed. "Oh, well, you know I love you. I told you 40 years ago. And that's the way some people are with the Lord. Well, He knows my heart. He knows I love Him. Listen, it's all through the Scripture. We are to worship God and express it out of our mouths to tell Him what He means to us. And as you do that, that's part of your relationship with Him. I want to close this morning in Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read verse 15 through 20. He says, "I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot..." I just got to stop real quick, all right? Are you on fire for God? You don't have to answer. I'm just asking, all right? But he says, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. You do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. You see, they thought that they had it all together. He said, you think you're rich and wealthy. You think everything's good. But they missed it all together. And that's where a lot of Christians are today. How do they miss it? Because it's all about relationship with Jesus. And he tells us what the answer is. Be zealous, be earnest, be sincere, and repent. Make a change. And I believe today is the day to start this year right. Make a change, be sincere. And he says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And this is how wonderful our God is. The Creator of the universe knocks, waiting for us to just open. And He says, if we'll open, He says, I will come into Him. Wow. And commune with us. Fellowship with us. You see, it's not a hard thing. We just have to be earnest, sincere, zealous, and repent. Just make up your mind that you're going to pursue that relationship with Jesus and open wide the door. Let the Prince of Peace come in. There's so many people living with stress in their life. What's the answer? Well, we get you some self-help books and, you know, listen to these CDs. They'll soothe your, you know, calm you down and... How about just let Jesus in, the Prince of Peace? Let the shepherd of your soul in to lead you and guide you. Just let the one who's got the joy, amen, let him come in. I'll tell you, he can get rid of the sadness. The one, the friend, who loves you so much that he laid down his life for you, let him in. A fellowship with him. I encourage you this morning, refocus on your relationship with Jesus, that this is the most important thing.